Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. In Iraq, we are informed there is one who calls himself the Prince, who claims to have a supernatural birth, and who says he is God. This man lives in a palace with 1,000 rooms and occupies a throne studded with diamonds. Visitors tell us this palace has no windows, and yet the place is bathed with continuous sunlight. There is no sign of air conditioning, and yet the air inside is always comfortably cool in that hot desert country where the temperature climbs to 120 degrees. The prince claims that it is he who soon will be summoned to lead the nations. On one occasion in the company of guests, he is said to have displayed unusual power, so that he actually commanded fire to come down out of heaven. He said, "I will show you the simplicity of making fire from matter without the use of material substance." And then he proceeded with a slight movement of his hand to the sky, after which a tongue of living flame swept down from the heavens, not as lightning, but as a small cloud which caught fire, and the flame burned even the rock until all that was left was a molten mass. Well, those acquainted with their Bible know that two outstanding personages are due to appear in the end time. The scriptures would seem to indicate that out of the framework of a revived Roman Empire, there will come these two individuals who are destined to play dramatic roles in the last act of Gentile world history. The scripture speaks unaffectionately of these as the beast and the false prophet. The one called the beast is really Satan's masterpiece. He is a mastermind with a master plan who will eventually head up a giant confederacy of nations. Brilliant, refined, cultured, he is still called the beast. Of him it is said power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. This one called the beast does not win his title of world conqueror through conquest. Rather, we read, a crown was given unto him. 10 nations are seen uniting, having one mind, and who surrender their sovereignty to this one, the beast. Bible students are watching with keen interest the attempts being made to forge a United States of Europe, believing this to be in fulfillment of one of the great end-time prophecies of the Bible. The prophet Daniel, referring to 10 nations which associate to form the last Gentile confederacy, writes, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." Ah, what tremendous times are these in which we live. We cannot but believe that this event of which the Bible speaks is verily close at hand. Already we have seen 6 nations form an economic union called the Common Market, and other leading countries are wanting to join, including Great Britain. Adenauer and de Gaulle have been meeting often of late to expedite plans for a political unity of Western Europe. The man largely responsible for promoting this European Union is Charles de Gaulle, a tall, towering soldier statesman, already in his 70s. George Sikorsky, noted news columnist, writes, quote, "Before the advent of de Gaulle, it seemed as though Germany and France would never join forces for the rebuilding of European society. But never has Western Europe been closer to unity than at the present time." News commentators, for the most part, say de Gaulle is the man to watch in Europe. Tom Cullen, NAE correspondent, says, "General de Gaulle, according to those close to him, firmly believe that he is marked by destiny to give leadership not only to France, but to Western Europe." Walter Lippmann says, quote, "General de Gaulle may well be said to be in the field of high strategy and high politics the greatest living genius in the Western world." Joseph Alsop writes, quote, "The figure of Charles de Gaulle now looms over Europe like a monument of primordial grandeur. De Gaulle's greatest aim, if summed up in a single sentence, is to construct a new giant power, Europe, founded on the Franco-German partnership. We have witnessed various attempts of men in our lifetime who set out to become world rulers. Mussolini, who was determined to resurrect the old Roman Empire from which he would rule the world. Then there was Adolf Hitler, who marched to the slogan, "Today we rule the fatherland, tomorrow we rule the world." There is much we could say about the beast, this end-time ruler. The prophet Daniel reminds us, "His power shall be mighty, but not in his own power. His authority to rule over the nations comes from the nations themselves. His power actually comes from Satan. For we read, the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority." Daniel also comments upon his ability to cope with the economic problems of the day, saying, "Through his policy shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand." The idea of a common market is working wonders, providing mass production of various commodities, with very little unemployment. As Time magazine comments, "Europe's economic resurgence, which only yesterday seemed a miracle, today has become almost commonplace fact." "Then this coming emperor will be a military genius," says Daniel. "He will honor the God of forces. So powerful will he become that it will be said of him, 'Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?'" A final characteristic of the beast we would like to make is his hatred of Almighty God. We read how for 42 months he opens his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. As a matter of fact, he himself becomes the sole object of worship. At the insistence of one called the false prophet, an image is made of him, and as many as will not worship the image of the beast will be killed. We read it was given unto him, the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That there will be saints living on the earth during this time of tribulation is clearly taught in the Word of God. It is seemingly evident that many will miss the rapture simply because they did not heed the message of warning to prepare for this glorious event. Ah, how sad for those who call themselves Christians to disregard the admonitions and warnings of God's Word, to be ready for Christ's return and thus be unprepared when he comes. Jesus spoke of the servant who said in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming," and of whom it was said, "He prepared not himself." Of this one we read, "The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." Did you hear it? The inference is that those who are professing Christians, who are not living holy lives, whose faith is shallow, lukewarm, whose time is taken up with the things of the world, who give little of their time or money to the work of the Lord, these will be left behind when Jesus comes to endure the wrath of the tribulation, including persecution from this barbaric ruler called the beast. In fact, in Revelation 7, we are informed of a great multitude, which no man could number, of whom it is said they came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. While upon earth during the tribulation, we are seeing this multitude of saints, of whom it is said the beast makes war on them and overcomes them. We see another group of saints in heaven. Hallelujah. They're a glorious army, clothed in white, following in the train of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is later seen descending to this earth. We read how the beast and these 10 kings and their armies gathered together to make war upon these saints coming from heaven. But this time the beast is defeated. We read, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. And he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Praise the Lord. Are you among the called, chosen, and faithful today? These are saints that have met the qualification for rapture, who were ready when Jesus came, and who escaped this coming awful tribulation. The saints are those who have responded to the invitation to receive Christ, and who are ready for our Lord's return. The chosen speak of those who have surrendered fully to Christ, who recognize his sovereignty in their lives as Lord as well as Savior. The chosen are those who are not only saved, but sealed. Not only believers, but disciples. Not only satisfied to be called Christians, but determined to be Spirit-filled Christians, ready for our Lord's return. Many are called and few are chosen, said Jesus. We are chosen in Him that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, says Paul. And then there are the faithful. Oh, how I wish I could impress upon you this message today. The faithful. The Bible says it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. God has entrusted you with tithes and talents, and depending upon your faithfulness in giving and serving, you shall be rewarded when Jesus comes. Concerning the servant who hid his Lord's money, he was called unprofitable. He was cast into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the tribulation, my friends. However, the servant who put his Lord's money to work was greeted with the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." There's anything of which I am convinced today, it is this, that for anyone who has money to give to the work of the Lord and refuses to give it, they are unfaithful servants who are in danger of being left behind when Jesus comes. Ah, hear me today. In what group of saints will you be found during this time of great tribulation? Will you be among those who will be left behind at the rapture to undergo the wrath of the beast? Or will you be among the called, the chosen and faithful, caught up when Jesus comes to escape this coming judgment? Ah, beloved, let us make our calling and election sure. Indeed, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.